Susan Graham Ryan on ABC Radio Queensland.
I think we all remember 13-year-old Queensland teen Daniel Morcombe, who was abducted and murdered. I think of the bright red shirt used by investigators, and it's now a symbol of child safety. And now there is a plan for his name to live on through Daniel's Law, which is being introduced to Queensland Parliament this week. The Premier, David Crisafulli, announcing the plan yesterday to establish a public website featuring photographs and personal details of reportable offenders who have failed to comply with their reporting obligations and whose whereabouts are unknown. A locality search application providing photographs to identify certain reportable offenders living in the local area and other concepts as part of that. Braveheart's founder and child protection lobbyist is Hetty Johnson and is with me now. Good morning. What do you make of the proposed Daniel's Law?
I think it's good and I think it's great. It's great that it's there. I think there's three elements to it, and I'd give two green ticks to two of them and a big question mark to the third. So not all perfect, and I don't think the ability to look up someone's photo in your local area is going to help anything at all.
So tell us more about that question mark that you have. What gets the green ticks? What gets the question mark?
Okay, so if we've got a registered sex offender, high-risk offender who goes missing, then their photo is released everywhere, which I totally agree with. Should be Amber Alerts everywhere. So that's really good. I'm really happy about that. That is as it should be. The second tier is that parents or others who have children and who want to make sure that the people they're entrusting with their care are people that the police have, there's no reason that the police can see that that person would pose a danger to their children, is also great, particularly for single mums. We know predators target single mums to have access to their children. The third one, and that one's based on Sarah's Law, the second one. The third one's based on Megan's Law, which is out of the United States, Sarah's Law out of the UK. And Megan's Law doesn't work. There is no evidence anywhere to say that Megan's Law works. And this third one is a variation of Megan's Law. It makes the community, it's great politically, and it might make the community feel like they've got some power here, but it doesn't actually solve anything. Looking up someone's photo that might live in your area does not help. And I say this because I remember Dennis Ferguson, when he was released, there was uproar throughout Australia, really, Queensland especially. His face was everywhere, and yet people were reporting his being in Maroochydore and in Ipswich and Logan all at the same time. So even though we knew his face so clearly, people were getting mistaken for him. So I really do question the value of the third tier, but I support absolutely the other two.
So with that in mind, do you think that there needs to be some safeguards in place to stop the misuse of the site, whether it be from misreporting or misunderstanding who, people's identity potentially is? Does there need to be some safeguards in place then?
I think, Susan, that there is. This is based on the Western Australian model. So in the Western Australian model, before you can just get on the website, you have to provide police, you have to provide the system with your driver's license, which will have an address on it, that is a local address. And you have to sign an agreement to say that you won't misuse that information, and it gives you a whole list of things that you're not allowed to do. If you breach that, then there are very serious penalties. So, and they haven't had any kinds of those kind of problems in Western Australia that I'm aware of. So I think more likely is that no one will use it, as is the experience in Western Australia. It's not something that's widely advertised. It's not something that a lot of people even think about, and they just don't use it.
Thinking through when Dennis Ferguson's incidents were happening, that was well before social media was around. Are you concerned that in a time of social media that things might be released from the website onto social media and then they may be inappropriately used in that case?
Yeah, I've got all of those concerns, which is why I don't like it, with Megan's Law the same. It all comes from Megan's Law. I think it doesn't really solve anything at the end of the day. I mean, I can guarantee you, I've got no access to any database like that, but I know where I'm sitting living right now that there are absolutely going to be child sex offenders, predators living, you know, in my local area. We have to understand that they're not going to be probably not convicted, probably not on a register. These registers are so limited. First of all, only about 5% of sex offenders are ever criminalised, are ever, you know, found guilty. Less than that are on a register because their victims are their family members or someone close to them. So to protect those victims, they're not on the register. And even those that are on the register are only on the register for a period of time, and then they drop off. So the ones, the very worst of the worst are the ones that are on the register. So, look, I think it's got limited use. It brings about a false sense of security. It looks like we're doing something when we're not. But I would absolutely encourage everybody to look at the tier that gives single parents and others to check up on babysitters and other people that you are entrusting with your children. Please, when you're working, getting into a relationship, just make the phone call. Just make sure this person is not somebody who's known to police and poses a threat to your children. I think that is a super, super valuable part of this, as is the sex offenders that go missing. And I commend the government for bringing those in.
You're on ABC Queensland, Susan with you, and you're hearing from child protection lobbyist Hetty Johnston. We've been talking about some of the concerns that you have this morning. Would you like other measures to be considered by the state government to keep Queensland's children safer, or further measures, whether it be within this or Daniel's Law or the blue card system? Are there any other protection measures you'd like to see introduced or considered?
Absolutely. Susan, there are so many that it would be too hard to list them off, but the system is totally failing our children almost in every respect. Right across from working with children checks, reportable conduct schemes, redress systems, everyone's got their own little siloed information. It's not being shared. That promise to share that is not looking like it's going to come together in any soon sort of time either. Then we look at the actual sentencing and the police, even right down to when a child discloses, how we manage that disclosure. Currently, they've got to go to a police station. You know, they've got to meet a legal test that is beyond reasonable doubt. It's an incredibly high test. That's the police's job. No slur on police. But we shouldn't be checking. We should also be checking for balance of probabilities evidence, which is a legitimate legal test that we're not using. So unless a child's disclosure or anyone's disclosure can meet that really high legal test of, you know, that you send it to the DPP and it's a lay down misere, otherwise they won't go forward with it. Unless we can meet that incredibly high test, these sex offenders are getting away with it, and they know it. We shouldn't be going to police with our children. We should be going to an advocate, child and family advocacy centre, where there are forensic interviewers whose job it is to interview children and people with vulnerabilities. And we need to know what happened. It's not so important that we lock them up, although I love that. I want to know who these people are. I want to know if they're a danger to our children. And I want those people to be registered on the Working with Children check. Or one check. Organisations now, when there's something going on in their organisation, have to make complaints, have to fill out forms for up to 7 different reportable, where they have to report this. And now we're getting a new one for the childcare system, where they've got to now report to this register of childcare people. It's really cumbersome. It doesn't talk to each other. It's failing. And I worry about our kids, but so parents need to do what they can, which is why I love the tier two.
So you're concerned about all of the silos that are set up separately. Should there be a catch-all that is funneling to them, as opposed to doing all of that different paperwork and slowing things down?
Absolutely, there should be. There should be a National Safeguarding Commission, one place, because the National Child Safe Principles, the disability standards, and all of the standards, health, education, they all look the same when it comes to safeguarding, the administrative governance safeguarding. They're all the same. So why not have one commission that does it all? Because these sex offenders, they move from disability to aged care, to wherever they can access children, to sport, to wherever. And at the moment, they're able to do it because we're not sharing this information. And, you know, 2025, my goodness, we can do this. Government just haven't applied themselves to it, and they need to. It's a matter of urgency, Susan. The future of this nation is sitting in the classrooms and kindies and daycares across this nation today. They're all there. That's our future. And we don't care enough. We know one in four of them are sexually assaulted before they turn 18. We know many are exposed to horrendous domestic violence and all sorts of harms coming their way, and yet we're not moving heaven and earth to protect them. So we're not moving heaven and earth to protect our future.
Hetty, you said that currently we're failing children on so many levels. Are you confident that we can get on track?
I think if the media keep bringing these stories to the attention of the public, and the public sort of hold on to the rage and make sure politicians are doing it. The only reason they're doing what they're doing now, Susan, is because of public rage, because the media brought it to their attention. That recommendation for the Working with Children check was brought down by the Royal Commissioners 2 years before the Royal Commission ended. And they did that because it was so important. They wanted to give government a head start on that. That was 10 years ago. And now, only now, are we looking at it. I mean, it is a fail of the greatest magnitude. And it's just unfair. And it makes me really angry that that has to happen before they do anything. We know what's happening, not just me. There is so many more of me and others like, you know, in the sector now, advocates. We see this every day. The family court is still the most dangerous institution in this country. It doesn't have to be. It can be so much better, but no one wants to know. No one wants to fix this system because we're not prioritising children. So it makes me quite cranky when I hear politicians, once the media get a hold of something and parents get angry, and so they should be. Gosh, we should all be so angry. Then they do something. Well, maintain the rage, I say, and just keep going until we get this done, because it can be done. Susan, it's just not being done.
Hetty Johnston, child protection lobbyist, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you. You are on ABC Queensland.